The shir is dedicated to Ilu Nishmas, my father, Zatzal, Nisano ben Arab Rafael. His your side is in Chaf Ador, which is tonight, tomorrow. I happen to follow the Minhag Agro. Minhag Agro is to observe both Adors. There's an Achokas, the Mechab and Ramah and Shulchan Aruch. Generally, Ashkenazis observe the first Ador, and Sfarim observe the second, and the Minhag Agro is to observe both. So I do both Adars. The Nafkamina is I fast on both Adars. So that is perhaps not ideal for many. But in my case, it probably has the title of Tibusa. Besides the fasting for the outside, we have other benefits as well. The topic I'm going to discuss is a complicated topic. So I will present it, hopefully, in a facile kind of fashion, namely the issue that's already mentioned on page number one of the first Mishnah, Masechet Megillah. The Mishnah tells us that the potential possibilities for reading the Megillah range from Yud Aleph all the way to Tesvav, Lo Pachas Lo Yosef. The Gemara says we can't go beyond the 15th of Adar because the Pasuk says, Velo Yavo. However, then the Mishnah goes on and tells us something which, at first glance, is not only incredibly striking, but rather extraordinary. We know that every single Yom Tov has a particular calendar date, has particular mitzvahs associated with it, and there perhaps are one or two exceptions where we may observe 2 days, such as Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, which takes place in Chutz Laaretz, not in Eretz Yisrael. But essentially, there, the 2 days that are observed across the board, whether one lives in South Africa, or one lives in England, or lives in the US, the only distinction being in terms of time zones, but essentially, the same zman of observance takes place. And essentially, the second day is a replication of day number one. However, with reference to Kriyas HaMegillah, we have something which is incredibly distinctive and unusual. And that is to say that most of Klal Yisrael read the Megillah on Yud Aleph on the 14th day. However, we have an extraordinary situation where Aram HaMukafos Choma read on Tesvav. Walled cities read on the 15th. Bimei Chazal, as we see from the Mishnah, in the smaller Kehilos they read, Miyom Yud Aleph. So the question is, what is the nexus between Yud Dalet and Tesvav? Are the 2 days to be equated? And in general, how do we understand this notion, this idea? So there's one of the most famous Rambans. It may be the most famous Ramban in Masechet Megillah. Ramban, in a rather unusual fashion, apparently decides to provide the backdrop, the historical backdrop, for this Yud Aleph Tesvav, for these 2 days of Purim. This is quite rare for the Ramban. Ramban is essentially a halachic codex, but the Ramban carefully examines and analyzes particular halachas, and dafka here, the Ramban chose to move away from that. And this Ramban is cited by the Ran on page number 3 of this handout, but perhaps we'll read the Ramban starting at page number 5, the Chiddush Ramban in Masechet Megillah, and I hope you don't mind if we explore the Ramban a bit more than I normally would have, but as I said, this Ramban is astounding. On page number 5, the Ramban, the Chiddush Ramban of Megillah, he cites the Gemara Masha Shaninu, Krochin HaMukaf in Chayma, Mas Yeshua Ben Nun, the walled cities, they read on the 14th, which is, as I mentioned, outside of the walled cities, the Rav of Klal Yisrael. Ani Tomei Ma'od. The Ramban is astounded. Ma Rav Al Kocha U'Magi Alein. Of course, that's a phrase which is found in the Megillah. Ramban Kedarko, by the way, one of the beautiful things about the Ramban, he weaves Tanakh into every one of his Perushim, Al HaTorah, and Tanakh. It's fairly evident that the Ramban knew Tanakh by heart, the way Rishayim the way Talmud Chacham Rashi and Kisisa actually quotes it. Rashi points out that Talmud Chacham has been kusha bechadal kishutim. So the Ramban really demonstrates this throughout his Perush al Torah. And unless one has an annotated Ramban, which I have, so luckily, as a result of the annotation, I'm familiar with the fact that he's citing many, many psukim. So the Ramban here utilizes this language, Maro al Kocho ma yi aleihem, lasos Yisrael agudos b'mitzvah hazo. Why suddenly do we have here two different groups? The Avagat the Lekha Hocha Mishim Lesh is going to do. Ramban, by the way, deals with the Sugi Nivamis. Why isn't this the problem Lesh is going to do? The Avagat Shnei Bate Dina Mishnei Ayaros Kedisa Perkam Liyoma. Question one. Where do you find such a division, such a bifurcation? That's another very significant principle in halacha. When Chazal enacted dinim d'rabbanan, such as Kriyas HaMegillah, they always try to find a model in the Daraisa. This is in Kol HaTorah Kula. And of course, here, where is that model? So now the Ramban begins to present a thesis which is lichora historical in nature. By the end of the day, the Ramban is a halachic codex, the judicial Ramban, and there has to be some element in halacha. And this Ramban I'm familiar with for decades. I've learned it many times, I've studied it many times. And we have to see if we can derive some halachic principle as well, besides the historical element that the Ramban sees embedded in the Psukim and the Megillah. So he writes, V'shema Yeshloma, he's suggesting, V'shenasa hanes v'shusham b'yudalim. These are Psukim in the Megillah. In the city of Shushan, the nest took place on the 14th. V'norach shalem hoya v'chamishasa, that's what the Pasuk says. So therefore in Shushan, they declare that the 15th is the time to observe Purim. That's a Gemara. They decided, the focus of the Megillah clearly is I always compare Shushan to New York City. I don't know why I have this analogy in my head. But whatever the case is, a barabara of Klal Yisrael was certainly to be felt in Shushan, where we have clearly many of our compatriots living. So therefore, based on Shushan, Chazal decided to go ahead. Kavu imahem mekemes hanichbodim. Kroch and Amu Kofim are considered to be mekemes hanichbodim. Also the 15th. All the other unwalled cities, what the Megillah calls the Prozim. So the nest took place on the 13th, and they rested on the 14th. Rambam is not happy about this. Why should they be different than the rest of Klal Yisrael? So now the Ramban comes with his dramatic thesis. This is purely based on examination of the Psukim of Megillas Esther. Lafi, says the Ramban. Shehudava Baruch, Shebizmano Shonez Zeh, Kva Nifkudu Yisrael. Va'olu La'aretz Berish Yom Koresh, V'nisyashu Bareh. When this event occurred, Klal Yisrael had already come back. Koresh gave his imprimatur to Klal Yisrael returning to Eretz Yisrael. They settled there. The Avi Omar Homan Yeshno Anachan Mephozim Mephora Abin Amin. He spoke about the fact that Klal Yisrael is dispersed and scattered. At that moment, at that point, Rob and Klal Yisrael together with Avi Sagdolim were in Eretz Yisrael. That we know from the Psukim in Ezra that unfortunately a paucity of individuals met Aliyah during the days of Ezra. So when he issued this decree, Obviously, those that were living in unwalled cities were in dire straits. Rabban refers to the psukim that we know that there were chomos in Yerushalayim, and the Rabban here cites the psukim. It's not my interest right now to examine them. The last thing lies now on this page. Ushenasa anes osim kulam yonach mishta b'simcha d'chsiv ushar yehudim asher b'mdino samelach hachashverosh. On the next page. Nikalu v'amor al nashom v'yom shloshu asom v'noach v'abo asom v'yaso asom yom mishta b'simcha. V'shol Shushan asom gam ki minocha sanei shalayim. Shushan was a day later. V'zeh haya v'shna sanes bilbat. So that was the initial response. And now, a number of years later, the prozim decided, they decided not to declare the 14th day as a day of Simcha. Abu Mukavin also clung. What a statement. Mukavin felt there's no need for them to declare any kind of yomtiv. Vishayanes gol the prosim. Vayalem asakana yosek in the precious. They weren't in sakana. They were behind a wall. They were in a walled city. There was no sakana. No need for them to have a nest. Vizel shekasav. That's what the pasuk said in the Megillah. Alkin ayidu ma prosim ayoshim yomer aprosos osim esiyom gidal b'chadashat nesim b'mishta. Pasuk only mentioned the prosim. What a deal. Doesn't mention anything about the Mukafin. They felt no need, no necessity to declare a yomtiv. They were not in the state of sakana. Someone today, I don't know why they feel I have a connection. I do have a connection to what's happening on the border between Russia and Ukraine. My connection is I know some people in Ukraine. That's my connection. And one of them I told him, he asked me what he should do. I said, you should leave Miyad. Come to Eretz Yisrael. But he's involved in Kyiv, in the Ukraine. And he hopes that Hashem will protect him. I hope there won't be any war that should erupt Halavai. But there, we're talking about people who are completely exposed. And they're in a difficult situation. So Mukafin felt that. The president... The Mukavim felt they were protected, and the Prozim felt literally exposed. Soloveitchik commented that during the war, talking about during the Shoah, there were people living in different parts of Europe who thought they were protected. The fact that in Poland and elsewhere, Jews were subjected to harassment on the part of the Nazis, but they're free and clear. They're not going to be impacted. They won't be affected. Bichlal. Unbelievable. That they had such a tchusha, such a hagosha. That seems to be the hagosha here of those who lived in walled cities. They were protected from any kind of onslaught. There's no need for them to declare any yom tov. Stam.
I thought they shouldn't live like that, but it's just
in a chanan.
But they have to become Israel.
Correct. Bom shutet. I think I'll get to this in a few moments. But the Ramban then, after he indicates the initial reading of the Psukim in the Megillah seemed to indicate that, a divide between the Mukafin and the Prosim. Achar zman, la'achar she'eir HaKadosh Baruch Hu einayim, and suddenly they were enlightened. U'matzu smach min ha'tera. The question is, what smach are we referring to? On the bottom you see a comment. But they found some smach. Oman Mordechai Beis Dino wrote the Reim Shal Prosim. Shavoy Anes Hazel Asos Lo Zeh LeDoros. So what did Mordechai and the Ashi Sagdol decide to do? To formalize the Yom Tov. Namely, that's certainly for Prosim, there should be Anes, LeDori Doros. Become also Alkon Yisrael. They said, no, not just Prosim, but it should be Anes, as Rabbi Weiss mentioned, for all Kal Yisrael. Shekul Arayu Besofik. Even the Mukafin were in the subject sakana. But clearly, prazim take precedence. They are their own, declared a yontiv, the prazim. The mukafim did not. They didn't feel the need to initially. And therefore, the Ramban says, when they formalized it, under the aegis of Mordechai, they did it in the following way. That the Yom Tov of Prozim is B'yoma, B'shem Yuchadayim, B'shem Mukavim, Kavim Yom Tov Asher Shushan. And then he derives this from Sukkim also, Ramban. The Zeru Shekosim. Ayichta Mordechai Sadmar Meila. This, of course, is towards the end of the Megillah, Perek Tes, where he writes it down. Vayishach Svarim B'kol HaYehudim, Asher B'chol B'dinah Samarach HaShosh. HaKrobim B'arachokim L'kayim Alayim, The also seem as young Yudal, the Yasim Tisab, Glomar, Sholachlem, Shikam, the Kulam, Lassa Zeman and Ness. He's been dying in the Psukim. That, by the way, as Rabbi Weiss alluded to, and the Medir is made by Mephoshe, Kihaman ben Amdasa, Agogi, Tzorer, Kola Yudin, the Lashon of Kol. And you, Ramban says, that's what the Psukim indicated at the end of the Megillah. But La Yomar and Chokim, Mishusha, and Eretz, La Yohaman, Besiat, the Boyan Aleim, that we wouldn't be affected. What a statement of the Ramban. The Kibbu Yisrael Ha'im Adover. What's Mordechai? And the Anshei Sagdol decided to formalize it. They found the Smach Min HaTorah. So then they were Mekabel. V'zehu Shekosav. The Kibbu La'ihudim Eis Asher Echevu La'asos. Eis Asher Kosav Mordechai Alem Klomar. Look how the Ramban reads the Pasuk. What does it mean? Eis Asher Echevu La'asos. Who began the process? The Prozim. What an unbelievable reading of the Pesukim. So that also now became formalized. The Nasan Tam, as I mentioned, unbelievable Ramban.
Is it because they physically were in that same matzah, or because he's supposed to have called it, they suit themselves then?
So that we have to engage in the. I'm asking, it's wrong shooting what you say. Like it's like all of this. But I'll discuss it a bit further. He writes both. He writes physically, they also were in danger, even though they may not have thought so. And certainly, unquestionably, what Rabbi Weiss said is his son, Butza, Enshim Sofer. And he writes further. What a statement the Gemara makes. You have to learn the Yisug at the beginning of Megillah. First, that, the Bez Vodal, Bez Vodal, Bez. The Gemara says, Gemara derives from Suki. Zmano Shalzeh, or Zmano Shalzeh. And he quotes the Gemara. Shalahuska Yudal, the Prozim Shay Schimaba. Machine of Emu Kofin Klaudo. This is a Peladig Gemara. The Gemara is a Habamina, which is the most unbelievable Habamina that I found any time I sat in the Gemara. The Gemara I've learned 30 times, probably more. I try to learn the Gemara every single year before Purim. Gemara Dashi. Don't be chesh me. I go beyond that. But the Gemara is looking for a makar that we read in the Gemara on Tesva. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk that the prozim mokovea and yom yudalim. Now, if they mokovea and yom yudalim, so we assume that those who lived in the Arma Mukavas also have to read another day, yom Tesva. So then the Gemara makes a suggestion. Who told you? Who said they have to read on another day? Maybe they don't read bichlal. That's what the Gemara suggests. Where's the kasha? Grows a pasuk. Okay, I use them aprozim. Yeah, but they are the base of the base. You can see that page number two. Ayoshim biyamei aprozim. So seeing this yom rabosar says the gemara read the prozim biyabosar mukaf mechamishosar. Ve'im affecting yimora prozim biyabosar mukafim klal klal lo. Can we employ you? Where's the suggestion that mukafim the klal should not be involved at all in kriyas on the gil? Why did the gemara have such a havamina? They should be potter legarmi mikriyas on the gil. Can we employ you? Now, the Ramban is coming to answer that question. Now, even though the Ramban, as I said, seems to be historical, he's telling you a bit of history, different segments, different stages, how this Nes occurred. He doesn't really quote Halacha L'maisa, but it's clear, according to the Ramban, that the Ikar day of Purim is the 14th. And the 15th, as the Ramban sites over here. Apparently, that is not necessarily the Iker day. It was Nikva as another day of Purim to those who are not mitzdares from the very outset to Yudalit. So Chazal went ahead and decided to add the Tesva. The Ramban goes on at the bottom. I'm just going on to the next side. Lo, the Ramban says, the thing he was in, Mukavim Klalo, Shalom Tikto, Lamashi Hisnubo. That was the initial thrust. The present, yes, Mukavim did feel the need. So what is the Gemara answer? This is what Rabbi White said. Up to Lab Yisrael, they know. What, they're not part of Klal Yisrael? Mukavim are completely separate. And not a Cherek of Klal Yisrael, that's the Gemara. The Gemara that base of the base. What a statement. And also the Gemara said, it says, Meher Gibi Akush. So clearly, everyone's included. But this statement always struck me. I'm thunderstruck. Up to Lab Yisrael, they know. They're not part of Klal Yisrael. I'm always reminded what I mentioned from Rav Soloveitchik, that there were Jews in Europe who thought they were not going to be impacted by the Shoah. And then he writes about Mount Yishra, the Mitzvah Yisrael below the Kulam, the Yoy Me'eidi Ve'akushtiv, Yassib Mitzvah Yisrael Shemorachai, El Kol HaYudim, Asher B'chol B'nos HaMelech HaShverosh, HaKrom V'alchotim, Da'ayinu Me'eidi Ve'akush, Yivkol Zehoy B'Yisrael, Misyorim Lino Zeven Fasya. They were afraid to publicly do something like that. Asher Chozer Morachai, V'shorachem Chesem HaMalko, he sends out the insignia of the queen, Shetziv Solasas came, V'shulam Misyorim, V'shayom, Mimitz HaMalko, and Rosin, the also that the Gemara has a dafei. The question what the criteria is. The Gemara already suggests such a haba mina. These people are protected and the others are exposed. What a Ramban. Pile point is Ramban. I've never recovered since I saw this Ramban. I love this Ramban. It's so beautiful and so astounding the way he reads the Pesukim. He's saying, Shabbat Pesukim. So this issue, as you know, has halachic ramifications, many, many halachic ramifications. Now, just briefly, I don't plan on, I didn't tell you, Dr. Stern, since I'm only doing it one night, so I'll take the liberty of going a bit further.
I understood that.
Well, I see you know me well. So I ask your forgiveness if it'll be in a position, Tzichut Tzibura. I'll just briefly, because this really needs a lot of examination. There is a Yerushalmi in the second paragraph of Megillah. It's actually found here on these pages. I believe my Xerox Yerushalmi. It's on the last page, which was added. It should be on the last page. On page number 11, thank you. So the Yerushalmi, in a very striking way, he discusses a very fascinating issue. The show is on the lower left-hand corner. You know, people have asked me a number of times, is it possible not to observe Purim? And it is. I don't want to mention someone's name. I don't understand it. That you can actually not be found, neither the Ari HaProzim on Yudalit, nor the Ari Mukavos on Tezvav, and basically you patty yourself from Purim. That's what Shalmi speaks about. So if
a Litvaker doesn't want to drink and doesn't want to party.
Okay, one could, you're trying to be Malama exclusive by yourself. Your tickets. What? Okay. So the Yerushalmi here, if you look in the, I underline this Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi basically paskins that, let's say, someone who doesn't, is not found in the city. So how's he going to read in his city, where he normally lives? When is exactly is he going to read? So Yerushalmi tells us that Zman Yudalit is the Zman Kriya of the Megillah. If you look in the Yerushalmi here, approximately from the bottom of the Yerushalmi, 9 lines or so. Hakol Yotzin Be'abasa She's Zman Kriyasa. What a statement in Yerushalmi. Yudalit, that's the Zman Kriya. And the bottom of the Yerushalmi, the last four lines of the first Yam, welcome to Baris. Let's say someone is on the high seas. Karin Kedaka Miyabrasa. On the high seas, you're neither in a walled city nor in another walled city. You're the first Yamit. And then the Yerushalmi quotes Hedeya that argues, the name of Ramona, that those people who would travel, they have to read the Fidminid Makoma. I'm Ramona Basin Aslan Koma. Where I plan on coming back to where I live. By the way, according to that opinion, if someone is never home, Misha no day tamid, so he won't be mechuyev. That's what emerges from this Yerushalmi, which is a bit of a pella. But Yerushalmi is based on halacha that's quoted right in the beginning of Yerushalmi in Perek Halacha Aleph. Well, let's say if I have a toshav of Ir Mukevet Chomah, someone who lives in a walled city. Let's use Yerushalayim as the example. Someone who lives in Yerushalayim who read the Megillah on Yudalit. So he's Yotzei Dechavasa. He already fulfilled his mitzvah because he read on the day which is the mainstay of Kriyas HaMegillah. That's what the Yerushalmi says. Hakol Yotzei Ba'avasa Shizman Kriyasa. That's the Ikras Man Kriya is Yudalit. We don't pass an halacha like this Yerushalmi. According to our position, Mukafi Chayma, someone who lives in Yerushalayim has to read that as well. That's very clear. But the Maskana that emerges in this Yerushalmi is similar to the Maskana of the Ramban. The historical Ramban, if I can use such a lashon, if I'm permitted to use such a language, that the Ikar day of Purim is Yom Gedalim. Yom Tezvav is sort of a kind of secondary type of day for the Kiyama Mitzvah. Now, this question that Yerushalmi raises is obviously leads us to another question. Certainly, according to the Yerushalmi, someone, and this is also discussed here, you can see I underlined it in about nine, ten lines. Up from the bottom of Yerushalmi. Someone who lives in a city which is not Mukav Chema. I live in Beit Shemesh. Well, let's assume that Beit Shemesh is not Mukav Chema. Wow, he is Ari Enkin, Shaget HaSech HaSholim. Lo Yehuma Ki Yisupa. He already discussed it with me. He pointed out to me two Purims ago. And he already wrote on it. And then last Purim, and now, ho-ho, Halacha L'maisa. What's Tutmin? I said, we have to, the flagon, aim for the Dolia Poskim. So he showed Rabbi Nevinsol Shlita, a great Rabbi Nevinsol, and what did Rabbi Nevinsol say? Yes, do I have a go? So he didn't issue a clear psak. I know people today here in Beit Shemesh, this coming Purim, they plan on carrying that out. Similar to what Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, he lays on Leil Tesvav. In Bnei Brak. I think only at night time. Because Bnei Brak is near Asmucha Leyafo. Okay, I'm not getting into this topic right now, but I'm simply indicating, Yerushalmi says, let's say a person lives in the Ir She'enu Mukevet Choma, namely Beit Shemesh, let's assume it's Ir She'enu Mukevet Choma. I can't be Motzei someone from Yerushalayim B'Kriyas HaMegillah B'Yom Tzevav. Why? Pasha the Mishra Rosh Hashanah. And that's what Yerushalmi here writes in the underlying section. I can't read for others. Now the question is, what about someone who's a Yerushalmi? He's a Toshav of Ir Mukevet Chomah. So now can he read on Yudalit? Can he be Motzi? Someone from Beit Shemesh who's living in a city which is not Mukevet Chomah. Because what is the Ikar Day of Purim? Yudalim. That's what Yerushalmi said. That's the Ikar Day of Purim. Or do we assume that he also, since for him the preferred period of time of reading his Tesvav, he's not called Mechuyev B'Davar and Yudalim. And therefore he can't be by Sachem. So that's what Yerushalmi here says. If you read the Lashon Yerushalmi, Ben Ir, Mao She Yetzi Ben Krachi Dechavasa. Can the Ben Yudalim be by see someone from Tesvav? Yeva Kado. Ben Krach, what about Ben Tezvav? Now she also is Ben Ir Nechavasa. Yeva Kado, Kol Shein Achai Bedova, and what says up Nechavasa? Oh, Yeva Kahi, or maybe we should go the other direction. Hakol Yetzir Be'Abasar, she was Man Kriyasa. So you shall be on the suffix. If you establish, if we would, one second, if you just accept you shall be in Perek Aleph, that the question whether Mukaf, namely, let's say, a Yerushalmi can read for a Ben Prose on Yudalit. So if he himself can be Yotzi L'Chiv Yom Yudalit, He could be Matze Achir. No question about it. We don't know what the position of the Babli regarding this matter. Because the Babli does not talk about the halachas that are also beyond the Yudala that I found in the Yerushalmi. The Gemara says Megillah, that based on the page number one here. That's Manu Shalzeh, Lokas Manu Shalzeh. We know the distinction between Yudala and Tezvah. But that Kriya is not so clear. It's not so clear that there's a Kriya to the position of Yerushalmi. There's a text in the Vomits. I didn't bring it over here, but that's what your list is going to do. The first paragraph of Yavamis, I think it's like Yudala, I remember now. So there, Tyson actually quotes this Yushalmi, that a prose cannot be motzi a mukaf dechavasim etesval. Tyson says that explicitly. Namely, a Beit Shemesh person, again, I'm using the halacha that Beit Shemesh is an unwalled city. Can't be motzi a Yushalmi on Tesval. However, Tosfos does not discuss this second issue of discussing the Yerushalmi. Can a mukaf be motzi a pros beyond Yudalim? Can a Yerushalmi be motzi a Beit Shemesh person on Yudalim? The Vilna Gaon quotes a Biagra. He said la'alocha that a mukaf can be read for a pros beyond Yudalim and be motzi a chema. Wow, what a psak! Be going Biagra.
But if you are, it's just that there certain differences, like for example, if I was at a kitchen, you might summon
your machala between women, the Bahag, that takes us close to the beginning of the Gilda, even though the difficulty with that Bahag is there are so many pshotim in that Bahag. The problem is Agumon. Or we have a shuva lady. Noshim chayavos v'miko migilah shaveng hodi b'sanes. Now, how in heaven's name the Bahag took that Gemara? It says, what are women chayvin? Not Mikro Megillah, but Shmias and Megillah, face and Abgillos. How do you come to that? So there are so many pshatim and achrenim. Each one's more difficult than the other. Shetach noshim chayavas Mikro Megillah. I'm sure the lady said this halacha four times in Shas. By Mikro Megillah, by the Alakesis, by the Achalika. He said a clear din. Abraham Lichtenstein, Zatzal told me that the meaning in his home that women like their Eschar. So he says, I know what you're going to tell me. I'm Mishnah Brewer. They go, I'm Mishnah Brewer, women don't like their Eschar. Achsam Sefer, because it sneers, since the Iker Miller is the lad outside, and called Gunav Asmelach Nima. I can go again. I swear, Achsam Sefer. But he didn't say it himself. Go to the name of Ashver. I heard from Ashver, it's Ashver Tzang Sefer. So the meaning in that house, and the meaning in Chabad, and in Brisk, many women like Neves Chabad. And then Rav Lavin told me, so you want to argue Yishtu Gugufo, that's all Rishi said, whole shir against that Mishnah Berurah. When you apply Yishtu Gugufo, Kalat Arakula, it doesn't apply to Neves Chabad. Shteyta Chagamala. Noshim Chayamas Menei Chabad, Shabbat Ha'i, Yibasa Anes. And he get pissed at Gemara. Similar to the Bahag over here. So he told me, and then with his, he had a humorous side. How many should have been, Amaraya? That's what he told me. You have to bring Amaraya against what I do. That's what he told me. I didn't have anything to say. It's against the meaning of Kali Yisrael. Women do not like. Do South African women like? Any of
this was
your wife's light?
But this was a match of Masera.
They are Mashim Masera when it's a Masera. When it's against the Gemara, they're not Mashim. Okay, I'm just now the next issue which has to be discussed, which I can't really do justice to, and after test, which is also found over here. The famous Mishnah Masera Megillah. And here, this is a plunder, Shane Kamal. It's almost impossible to figure out what in heaven's name is going on. Ben Yerushalach Lichrach, which in my family, we have people living in Yerushalayim. They come to Beit Shemesh and observe Megillah, Lael Yudalid, Yom Yudalid, at the Suda with us. They quickly run back to Yerushalayim, and the Megillah, Lael Tezvah. So they're the opposite of what I mentioned earlier. And so they observed two Purims. And the question, did they get shikah twice? Of course, what's the suffix? Chayvam lipsumi v'puraya. So that's puraya, 2 days of Purim. That's why they do it. But the problem is, what's the pshat of that Mishnah? The Mishnah here, not your test, but you have in front of you. So the Mishnah writes, if you read the Mishnah the way the Rif reads it, as opposed to the other Mishnah. What page is it? Ben Yerushalayim to Krach. Ben Yudalah goes to Bet Shemesh, goes to Yerushalayim. If Ben Krach Shalach Leir, vice versa. Im Osi Lachzol in Kemen, Kerin Kim Kemen. If he plans on going back to his home, then he reads Kim Kemen. Im Lav Kerin Kemen. Ma Hapshat Haposhet Ba Mishnah Azayis. Azayim Yishtayin the Rif. The Rif says, it's totally on what? What your Machshav is. But I plan on going back. I don't plan on going back. The Gemara right away says, "Oh my God, but loy shon lo shos selachsel b'lel yudalid, alein lo selachsel b'lel yudalid kari imayim." So the famous Rashi, Rashi said, "What is the koveya?" So Rashi writes, "Loy shon the ben krach sholach leir b'as selachsel b'kovo kovo chamishosa ela shos selachsel b'lel abasar in kaidu amud hashachar." That's the criteria. Where am I before amud hashachar on yudalid? That's what it says. In Sarach Likos Iman, B'lev Yudalit. I left before Amor HaShachar. Abba Bishol, Den HaShom. Olu B'yayim Lo Yeshom. Ain't that feel the praise, Ben Yayim. This is not the Pashup Shad Mishnah. So I can go through you, with you, through the here that you have as well on the last page, on page 11. There's a Rif. There's a Rosh. There's a lot of discussion on this topic among the Gdolei Rishonim, a big machlokes of Rishonim regarding this matter. I mean, the Mishnah says pretty clearly, as I said, here on Daf Yutes, page number 10, that if at the end of the day, B'sefer Shel David, you're going back to your original place, that's the way you read. B'fi hazman ha-mekori, k'fi mekom ha-rishon. Klo Mishnah. If you don't plan on going back, then you read, k'fi mekom ha-rishon, that you are found. Where are you going to be found on Purim? And the Gemara, as I said, says, what is the Koveya? At least according to Rashi, according to Ramban. Koveya is Yom Yudal. Where am I? By Amun HaShachar of Yom Yudal. That's the Koveya. If I'm there, then I'm considered to be a prose. If I'm not there, I'm an Ir Mukov.
The mitzvah begins at night.
So that's true. The mitzvah begins at night. And the Chanami, but the Ikka Kriyas HaMegillah, by night or by day. That's another Turiyamin. That's a famous discussion. To reality, the Gemara says, "Sulas Purim Shasu Balayim Laseh Chavaso." Pashtus, the Gemara said, the reason the Gemara also here, the Gemara Megillah, when it calls two sources, two Mekoros, for reading the Megillah at nighttime, the mind is Avir Chachabu Leidai. Of course, the Pesukim that was said by Esther on her way to the throne of Achashverosh, Shalakaya Koreim Lesane, the Laila Lo Dumiyodim. So that's the Gemara Abdalid, and Mashmos is the Gemara seems to say that that's the seven Takoros Chazal of Rabbi Shmuel Levi. But the Iker HaMitzvah is after Bayeh. There are Shilas in Rishonim. Machon says the Rambam, and Shafiyon during the day, not like Shafiyon during the day, not meaning it's like Shafiyon, Machon is the Chabra Amor, Machon is Ashiraz and Misradim, but the Iker Kriya seems to be after Bayeh. You may Mishta Vesimplexiv as opposed to night. What the status of the night is probably the different Kabbalah, so Turiyan writes, as opposed to the Kriya Bayeh is the Iker Kriya. But there's a big machlokas of Rishonim here. I'm not going to go through this whole discussion. You have it here actually at page number 11. That the way, again, the Rif claims, the Rif is on the top of the page here, page number 11. The Rif based on, he had a different gears from the Gemara. And the Rif of Hanan will assume with Dava Poshet that the simple reading of the text of the Gemara, if I'm found in another city at a certain moment, so that's Koveya. What Machiav is, that changed the Zman of the Kriya, he writes over here on top of the page, Ben Yir Shalach Lekach, Amar Rabba, Lo Shon, Lo Sha'os, Lo Sha'os, Lo Sha'os, Lo Sha'os, Lo Sha'os, Lo Sha'os, something happened that was prevented from coming back. So the Rif, let's say a prose, I can use that term, but prose meaning a Beit Shemesh person. He is visiting someone in Yerushalayim, and he decides, I'm going home before Amar HaShachar and Yom Yudalit. However, I was stuck. Something happened. I couldn't go back. So he still continued to be a prose as far as his manik. We have some Megillah. That does not change. I physically, he's in a city, which in effect, Mukabit Chom of Yom Yudalit, but this man of the Kriyas HaMegillah for him is not Nikva, just because he's present in the city. But based on, shall we say, what? Masha Tichnei. What he had in mind? What was his intention? The Balamor is Deicha the Kiddush of the Rif. The Balamor is right over here as well. I'm not going to ask you to read the Balamor, the Ramban, the Ravid. I thought I was going to say Shir on those three things. That would be, we'd be here for a few hours. Because I wanted to figure out every line in the Balamor, Ramban, and the Ravid. The Balamor is Deicha the Rif. The Balamor says, what are you talking about? Where you are physically, that's what's Koveya. There's no discussion. He says, he writes below this, Baru, Ravar Shal Harif Bazen. My Osi, the Mai Nisake. What does that mean? Osi, Nisake, Im Chazar, Chazar, Yolai Chazar, Yolai Chazar. Iko Bazer, Man Chashme. Who cares about the fact that you were stuck? Why should that be a factor? So the Balamor says, Ravar Shutim, that my physical presence where I am, that's Koveya. There's no discussion. Of course, the Ramban comes to the defense of the Rif Kedaka Bakedesh in the Machabes Hashem here. And the Ramban is so astounding. Every time I learn the Ramban, I am more astounded by his chadshonus, by his creativity, by his unbelievable ability to literally compare things. Ramban right away refers us to many other halachas that I found in Shas. That can help us in order to understand the position of the Rif. Such as, he brings a whole slew of dinim, Mishnayis and Sugis, primarily in the fourth paragraph of Sochim, that deal with Mokim Shenagel. Now, that paragraph, as you know, talks about halachas of people who travel from place to place. That's what the Mishnayis and Mokim Shenagel discuss. And they're also, for example, one of the, right at the very beginning, the Issa Malacha Erev Pesach. What is the din? Can I do Malacha Erev Pesach? Can I not Malacha Erev Pesach? And they also, the Gemara then discusses Yom Tov Shemesh Hagolis, who observe 1 day of Yom Tov, 2 days of Yom Tov. Rabban also refers to selling a behemah daka to a goy. It's all Mishnayos and Makom Shenagel. All the entire paragraph is full of these different types of menagim. So the klal is that if I am found in a city, so then I have to adopt the menagim of that city, where I don't plan on going back to my original city. If I plan on going back to my original city, there's no obligation to go ahead and follow the minhagim of that particular spot where I have to be in. It's also a sugya ma'avasa regarding taxes. At one point, the person is obligated to pay taxes, shloshim yom, less than shloshim yom, which taxes, what a ganze business. So the Ramban is koveya based on all those gemaras of Makom Shenagel, gemaras of Sochim, that again, the same thing should be applicable regarding Kriyas HaMegillah. People are traveling, of course, for it. So we don't really. He writes here, over here, he says, Omar Kesey, Efshah Shalom is Barer Uloi. Ramban always plays with the language of the Balamor. The Balamor says, Lo is Barer, Lo is Barer Shalarif. The position of the Rif is not clear. Says the Ramban, Omar Kesey, Efshah Shalom is Barer Uloi. Maybe to the Balamor it wasn't his Barer. I will throw in the Chenime. But what the Rif said is correct. And he writes, The Chenime, Batsinim, Chalmogim, Shein, Nesil, Lo, Chubi, Amogim, Shum, Shom, El, Chein, Dai, Dolapsar. I feel Omer Shom Kama, Shalom Ladas, Lo. So the fact that Ramban compares all these sugyas, he compares all sugyas to the sugyas of Makom Shenagel, that's fascinating. And it comes from the premise that the din of the Mishnah is based on that ikaron of minhogim, minhogam bokom, to people who come to that particular spot, and based on the sugyas themselves. Okay, so I'm not going to go through this. I want to just share just one or two more things. I really could examine this halacha incredibly for a long period of time. I'm not going to do that. I won't cause you to have Tzav Bal Chaim Daraisa, maybe Darbonon. There's what to examine here in this sugya that the Gemara says, praise Ben Yaim according to Kroos. I mean, that's a very fascinating statement. What does that mean? Praise Ben Yaim according to Kroos. I go to Beit Shemesh for 1 day. And therefore, I become a Beit Shemeshi, and I'm not sure how to pronounce the term. I'm there as Man Kotzer, Skufak Tzara, short period of time. It means a Mukaf, a Yerushalmi, who show every year proza. As far as Kriyas HaMegillah, it becomes what the Gemara says, pros ben yom, akari pros. So The difficulty I have with that is once you assume that's correct, let's say we accept that premise. But the Gemara quotes Suke. What are we psukim for? If we're working with this Svara, that prays ben yom v'kari pros, and mukav ben yom v'kari mukav, so why is the Gemara quote Suke? Apparently there's some sort of new ikaron here that the Gemara is trying to establish. In general, the Gemara quotes the pasuk, that's what the Gemara is trying to do, to establish, to lay down a postulate, to lay down a fundamental concept. As I said, the Gemara Pesachim that the Ramban here quotes has different situations. Isa Malacha and Erev Pesach means, let's say, all the places that they have minyan not to do Malacha Erev Pesach after Chatzos. So their question is, did they extend that to the beginning of the day, to the first 6 hours of the day? So again, one has to examine all the different possibilities. If you hear some Megillah, maybe we're talking about two separate mitzvahs. Pros is Mechuyim and Kriyas HaMegillah B'Yom Yudalim. Mukav is Mechuyim and Kriyas HaMegillah B'Yom Tezvav. And each one has a different set of circumstances. Each one is a completely different situation. And the Ramban himself, I'll just read a part of the Ramban. Don't need to look at it because it's a little small print. Microscopic. The Ramban writes here, I will make night to last of the Koma of Yudala, the Yom Yudala, Nasa Pros, the Yom of the Koya Moyam, the Ashen is Sakin Khan of Yom Tezvav. He said, had he left and came back, he would have been a mukav and he would have ran in both places. He's, let's say, if a Tesvav guy, Yushambi guy, visits Ir Proza, visits Beit Shemesh, has no intention of coming back before Amar Hashach of Yom Yudala. So he's looking to read together with Yom Yudala. If afterwards Ramban says he goes back to Ir Mukefet, goes back to Yushalayim, he's looking to read a second time, Yom Tesvav. So the possibility that a person can read the Megillah twice on Yudal and Tezvav shows that the Gemara apparently doesn't talk about one mitzvah that has two different ways of being the kind of mitzvah in two different places. But rather, the mitzvah Kriyas HaMegillah seems to be a tzirah for two mitzvahs. And the locus of a person, namely where a person is located, is Mikum. Mikum Shel Adam is Kovea, which are the two mitzvahs, Mechuyim. So therefore, a prose, as we said earlier, prose cannot be motzi dechovas mukav yom tesvav. Even if he didn't read the Megillah, because he's not mechuyav kriyas HaMegillah yom tesvav, that's not his chiyuv. That's not his obligation. Okay, this, as I said, probably if you see the two different times of kriya as being two separate mitzvahs and not one mitzvah that's mekayim differently, so that perhaps would justify why Chazal need a pasuk. Why they had a pasuk? The Gemara Daf Yutes calls a pasuk. Okay, I'm not, as I said, focused on that, but as I said, it's possible that someone could be neither a pros nor a mukaf, neither of the two, and as mentioned, as you alluded to earlier, a very famous personality somehow. I'm not sure exactly why he did what he did, but that's when allegedly he did that. Now, I want to just refer to now Rambam, which of course I can't, as for sure, believe the Rambams. So the Rambam are found on page 11, and these Rambams are fascinating. The Rambam speaks of in Halacha Dalet, to the right-hand column. Ezer zman kriyasa zman harin tikla haram shenema b'zmaneim ve'elei zman kriyasa. The Rambam tells you their first zmanim harbe, right? There are many zmanim. And then he said the following, a very fascinating Rambam. Kol medina sh'oisa mukev eschomu emos yeshua benun ben ba'oretz ben b'chutzaretz. Wow, what a statement. Whether we're in Eretz Yisrael or Kutzaretz, any Medina that had a walled city, there's Yeshua. Abishem la'ashav chayim akarim b'tazvah ba'ador, Medina zori anik yisprach. B'chol Medina shalaisa v'kev b'chol m'mersi Yeshua, any area that was not b'chol chayim, abishem v'kev b'data karim b'yadal, Medina zori anik yisir. And then he writes about Shushan Abir. Before I get to Shushan Abir, I mean, there are Mishayim who raise a question here. Whether a walled city located outside of Eretz Yisrael is treated as a krach, which of course the Megillah will be read there on the 15th of Adar. So there are Rishonim who contend the Tesis writes like that in the Gimel, I believe, in Megillah. The Gimel of Beit, there's a Tesis, the Ramasal krach. I think you have it here on your pages. Tesis actually says that only those cities that have a Kushas Arit Chema, there the Megillah is read on day 15. We run everything. The other Gemara was read on day 15, where Wall Street is located outside of Eretz Yisrael, as treated as all of our Yaros. And the Gemara is read on the 14th day of Adar. The Mishnah in Masechet Kehilim, the first parak of Masechet Kehilim, the Mishnah describes a special Kedusha attributed to ayaras which are called arichema, that let's say Mitzera is not allowed to enter those cities. The Mishnah has a whole list of such items. Anyway, but if you, again, going back to this Rambam, so the Rambam does not agree with those Mishnah. The Rambam holds that the nation of Krach, as a matter of fact, any city that was in-walled, that's a good English word. That's what Avraham Lichtenstein used to use that word, in-walled, E-N-W-A-L-L-E-D. Never heard of such a word. Any city that was in-walled, the Dead of Yeshua, is called a Krach, maybe in Johannesburg. Vein Baris, Vein Chutzar, it doesn't make it whether it's in diaspora or in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam said the determining factor of whether or not the city was in-walled, is Yeshua, is independent of the question whether the city has Kedushas or Rechevah. That's independent. And that criterion applies even to those cities outside Eretz Yisrael. Now, I'm not here, as I said, if you look in the Rambam carefully, and look at this Lashon, a Rambam, this is based on the Gemara, because the Gemara says in Megillah, the Gemara that Megillah is based, Asher Loi Chayman, spelled in the Korean Sid, Lamed Bav Aleph, Loi Chayman, Lamed Aleph, Apish Ein Loi Chayman Asher, doesn't have one now, means the Brisa is talking about whether Ari Chayman retained the Kedusha following the ghosts, even if the walls were destroyed. The Brisa says that Kedusha Ari Chayman did not dissipate. Abba be Shein Loi Chayman Asher, it had a Chayman at one time, so it still has a Kedusha of Ari Chayman, following the Golas Bavel, even the city's walls have been destroyed. That's how the Gemara says about Gilon base. So, but that's not the issue I want to talk about. I'm going back to this Lashon Rambam. So the Rambam reads now, Shushan Abir, let's read Halachi K. He writes, Shushan Abir, Alpi Shalaisim, Lekabit Chayim, Le Yeshua, Le Yun Karim, Bites Lo, Sheba Yanes, Le Lama Tolu Adab, Le Yeshua, Le Lach Le Kabul, Le Yitzhi Soh, Shalaisi Rabi, Be Beis Azman, Le Yeshu Karim, Kibne Shushan, Be Yashu, Kilo, Le Krokan, Le Kabul, Le Chayim, Alpi Shalat, Le Kabul, Oh, why did we come to Yeshua? But yes, he came to Israel. But there's that. Rambam is addressing a problem that Rambam was troubled. That the determining factor in classifying city as a krach is whether the city had a womb. There's Yeshua. That's difficult, given the view of the Rambam that this term applies even to cities located outside of Eretz Yisrael, and it's not dependent upon whether the city has kedushas or yichayma. And the Rambam was also perplexed as to why a city, even Eretz Yisrael, that was no longer enclosed by a wall during the days of Achashverosh, nonetheless, meets on the 15th. As long as it's in walled when, it's by Yeshua ben Nun. So the Rambam proves that the city is designated as a krach by the fact that it was in walled during the days of Yeshua, even though it doesn't have Dusar Yechayma, but the fact that this rule applies to cities outside Eretz Yisrael, they don't have Dusar Yechayma. So obviously you can't derive it from that Gemara, Asher Lo Yechayma, that has no relevance to cities that are clearly outside of Eretz Yisrael. So, in order to understand the position of the Rambam, we have to go back to the Ramban that we discussed. And I want to just show you that the Ramban is not just telling you something of a historical nature. And now what I'm about to say, I heard from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal a number of times. He also analyzed this Ramban. And he came to a maskana, which was rather original. And one could, I think, take issue with this maskana. But once again, let's just refer to the Ramban. The Ramban says here, the original Purim was observed by people immediately after the Muhammad. They celebrated spontaneously, but only those who were in the Prozim, not those who were in the Prochim, they didn't feel the need to go ahead and celebrate. And therefore, they celebrated, as I said, only later, in the second segment, when Mordechai came along and Asher Sadol and formalized the entire celebration. But initially, they did not do so. Mashenk and Shushan, Ramban says here, they celebrated their rescue that year on the 15th day because they engaged in combat for an additional day. So that's what the Pasuk says, Ramban is Bedayik, Alkin Ayudim Aprozim, Osim Nisyon Marbosar. And then later on, as I said, it was changed by Mordechai. Now it's interesting that unlike Yom Tov of Hanukkah that was imposed by Chazal upon the occurrence of the miracles, Purim originated with the spontaneous practice of the people and then was subsequently formalized, ratified, as a kind of Yom Tov. And basically, they stipulated Chazal that Purim be celebrated in the same manner as the initial Purim was celebrated. Now, the Bnei Ayoros, they're going to celebrate Purim on the 14th day, as they did in the original Purim. Shushan on the 15th day. What about the Bnei Krochim? They didn't participate in the original celebration of Purim. And unlike Yoray HaKrozim, they didn't have any practice. So therefore, said Arav Soloveitchik, and it was the night for Lashon Rambam. I'm not 1,000% sure that this is Chad Rambam. They felt, Chachmei Chazal, it was necessary to penalize and rebuke the Bnei Krochim. For wrongfully concluding, they were not exposed to danger. And therefore they imposed the Yom Tov for those people on a day subsequent to the one celebrated by the Prozim and the Ayaros, and required all those B'nai Krochim to celebrate it on the following day. Okay, coincidentally, it also happens to be the day that Shushan celebrate. And that was basically the way our Soloveitchik, I'll even tell you how he put it. He said, according to the Ramban, the celebration on the 14th by the B'nai Ayaros is a matir for the B'nai Krochim on the 15th day. In light of his general kind of language that he's fond of using. I'll just leave it at that. But that's what his argument was. And the truth is, as I said earlier, and this he did mention in the shiur that I heard from him, but I know that he did say, because he lived during the Holocaust, and there were literally a fair number of Jews who were living not in Europe, not in Poland. I'm talking about even Jews living in Germany, as Lev described, who thought they were essentially completely and totally insulated from any possible onslaught. Jews had reached the highest levels in the German government, in German industry. They were aristocrats from every standpoint. That's right. That's the Nashe Chochma, Berlin, Yerushalayim. And that was something which is clearly a blot. Okay, I just wanted to say, if I may, just since it's my father's yard side, just mention one of the things about my father, the Benny Brocha, the son of the Rabbi of the I think my father had a major influence on my life. When I say my father, I include my mother as well. They were simple people. That's how they saw themselves. Never went to yeshiva day in their lives. There was no yeshiva to go to. And yet somehow they absorbed from their parents an unbelievable masera. The masera in the following. My father and mother somehow always felt the need, first of all, Pashachris. It was very chashuv for them. We're all on diets all the time, so no one eats bread. Pashachris was very chashuv. A woman from the shul called me, a very chashuv woman. She asked me, she wakes up at 1 o'clock. She's a night owl. So she goes to sleep at 3, 4 in the morning. She wakes up at 1 o'clock. Number one, two questions. Is the dinner Pashachris still relevant at 1 o'clock? After Chatzay, she wanted to know. And number two, is it Dafka Pass? So I told her, yeah, you could, it's not Dafka Pass. I mean, you can have Chavei Saminim. Yeah, must have Chavei Saminim, can I have some fruit? Is that also called Pashachris? Maybe. I didn't think so. Then she went further, called me back a second time. You know, David, you say all kinds of things. You have a source. Her husband was involved. You all, you know her husband. So he apparently prodded her to ask me for the source. So I told her the source is 7 Gemaras in my head. And the same called Ma'an Amukim is one of my favorite spots. Ma'an Amukim is the deep waters. So where are those deep waters? She said, who wrote that sefer? I said, each person writes his own sefer. So she couldn't fully understand. So I had to speak to my husband about that. So her husband is laughing in the background. Kosher completely. You all know who the husband is. Okay, I won't get into it. Anyway, Baruch Hashem, my friend, I'm the Chacham in the shul. So my parents ate Pashachris. And then they benched. They used to sing the benching. Every single benching, not just that Shabbos. Every benching, they sang. How long did it take? 15 minutes. Word for word. Each word was sung carefully and slowly. Mila b'mila b'metinuche and kalom. I can finish Shachris in 15 minutes. And they bench for 15 minutes. My father's davening, my mother also. My father said tillim every single week. He finished in 5-7 tillim. No tillim by all. His davening was an hour and 15 minutes. What was he doing there? Philip, what was he doing? Maybe he didn't know the words as well as I did. I went to yeshiva, that's probably why. So I'm more familiar with the language. Someone would talk during davening. So luckily we have shuls like Beis Tfilo. The Baruch Hashem people don't talk during davening, I think. The credit to be given to Goyen Rav Chaim Zev Tzatzal. I imagine he's the one who established it, maybe Dr. Stern, but he's a very stern fellow. Anyway, so Baruch Hashem. So if someone would talk during davening, oy vavoy, that person was in deep, deep trouble. Not even having a minute to talk during davening, he's speaking to Hashem's Baruch. I thought it was very makbid at Tefillah B'Tzibur, but he was makbid to cover earlier. Asar Rishayim, he was number one. Number one. The problem is we had to go with it. But Zello Fair. What age? 5 years old. I started going to Tefillah B'Tzibur. Sugar? Not normal. No? Did they do that to you?
It wasn't even Bichas Keren.
Yeah, even without Bichas Keren. By the way, the Ashikach comes to my father, also the Bichas Keren, the Ashikach, I did 4 or 5 times a year to the Keren. And then later on, I investigated it with different Gedolei Yisrael. I mentioned it already a number of times. I heard from Rapam Zatzal that I remember when he asked me this question, I was a youngster. He told me that he heard from Ravun Gazovsky that Ravun said that Akoyim was a getta, a broche, in the ganze house. That he deserves the Ashikach, and he gives the bracha to the Abba. That's the only bracha that we have the Abba. He deserves the Ashikach. So my father also is to go around to the Kurdish. I wasn't the Chadish, that's my wife. I took it from my father. And he told me that it feels not necessary because here they do it every day. So why is it necessary? We should appreciate the bracha that the Kurdish give us, even though it's on a daily basis. And then I'm going to Abdullah Miller. Tried to, about 7 or 8 years ago to tell me it's a hefsek every day between what Tachlis should be called should be massing between the Yad Neufeld. So I showed him 6 farm and say otherwise. That's how I feel. Anyway, the kids, it took me a while to find those farm. I made sure I found those farm. My father and mother, the Jacharis, and Tamil Chachamim, no involvement. I don't think I have anything like it. We had, by the way, Tamil Chacham live in our house. We had a very small apartment. They live in our house. They used to take our rooms. And they would come, and my father and mother would be my rechter. There was one person who was not completely well. I mean, there was some, how shall I put it? Some screws that were loose. He was a shvaga of one of the famous Gedolei. He lived in our house for years. And my parents, every Erev Shabbos, all of us used to go, all the brothers, we used to go and deliver food that my mother cooked for people in wheelchairs and paraplegics living in dangerous neighborhoods. I told my father, we're a potter. We went into Harlem. I'm not joking. You know, have you ever heard of Harlem? You didn't have that over there. Maybe you did.
The sun never rises.
So that was the Chassod, they were, everything in their lives was based on chesed. And I've told this a few times. This is completely true. I mean, I can't deny it. That in my days, I told the story about Yom Kippur, which is a really powerful story, but a very sad story. No one knew what Yom Kippur was. We were growing up in an era, no one understood the Avodah. We didn't have a clue what was going on. Maybe the rabbi understood. The rabbi was from Savannah. Remember Anatoly, he actually was Meshamish of Chavetz Chaim. He's a Chavusa of Anatol Zaks, the son of Chavetz Chaim. So he couldn't do what the Avodah was. We didn't have a clue. There were no art scroll, no English translations, nothing. It was Birnbaum. Maybe Birnbaum was around. I'm not even sure Birnbaum was around then at that point in time, the Birnbaum Siddur. But there was some English Siddur, but we didn't have a clue. I remember Kinas and Tisha B'Av and my father, we couldn't move from the spot. We were tied down for the entire Yom Kippur. So not far from the shul where I daven, there was a bar. And usually the 7th game of the World Series just came out of Yom Kippur. Somehow the Chatz Chamo, the Rebbe Shalom works his ways. The World Series, you may be not familiar with that. There's baseball, something very, I don't know if you, both of you are, you don't have that over there in South Africa. You have other games that people play. Anyway, so.
But those years you didn't play in Yom Kippur.
Wow. Yeah. Anyway, so Bikitzer, so the shul started emptying out. Dr. Stern, you would have had 7 fits. there was a minion, the shul, hundreds of people, they were by the bar watching the game. So the president of the shul decided, listen, this can't be. It's not the same, it's a kippah. So he got everyone back in, and then he said, don't worry, I'm going to keep you abreast of what's happening. No one knew what he was talking about. My father thought he was talking about the keeping abreast of what the davening was all about, as he was going to keep us abreast. And then I saw that he left And then came back and the chazan stopped. He stopped the chazan and made an announcement in the shul, in the middle of the davening. Yankees 5, Boston Red Sox 3. Hip hip, hooray! The rub, I think he fainted under the shtetl. My father ran up the bima and smacked him across the face. My father couldn't be silent about such a thing. Oh boy. So I, by the way, I used to come, I thought it was exciting to go to shul. All these brawls, and it was very, shul, a very exciting place. My father had the Acheretz for Tfila, for Davening, for Hashem Yisbarach. That's what we grew up on. And I mentioned on Shabbos that my mother, Hashem, used to call Dali Yisrael. She spoke them in Yiddish on an ongoing basis. She had a Shaila, called her Moshe. She always got him somehow. If she didn't get him, she called her Hemkin. She didn't get her Hemkin, she called her Moshe Bik. We used to go to Shal Shul for Moshe Bik. And then my father walked with the best eats in the city. Wow, they had this tremendous spread. I was a little kid, way before my bar mitzvah. Was to go there for shal shivas. So my father was a tremendous role model for me, and he wasn't zechet to learn yeshivas, but it's clear that he paved the way. My father never worked on Shabbos. He worked for a firm. Every single person in the firm was Jewish. Over 200 people working there. My father went to Cooper Union. His area was physics and math. That's what he wanted us to do, not this klekeinish business. And yet somehow, the end of his life, he made Aliyah. That's his family. He was mashed a bit. All the brothers involved in some sort of Kodesh Kodesh and some form of fashion. But my father was an autodidactic kind of person. He learned on his own. He taught himself to learn. He knew the Tiger Uncle solitaire by heart. Shoot, talk to Mashmal. He spent 30 hours a week learning Tiger Uncles. Why would anyone do that? Why would they spend so much time learning Tiger Uncles? He enjoyed because my father spoke a number of languages. He was a polyglot from every standpoint. He spoke 6-7 languages. A little bit because of him, I took Latin in my high school days. My father felt it was important. And my father spoke a few other languages as well. I mean, I spoke Spanish because of Washington Heights. Yo hablo español muy poco. But anyway, I learned to speak Spanish fluently because of the neighborhood. He had a certain approach which was all autodidactic, and Baruch Hashem, he was a zeichet, wonderful children, and I refer to myself, I refer to my brothers, and to grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and Baruch Hashem, I'd say to our parents, and it's all exclusive to my parents, and really, my mother's yotzeit is on Erev Pesach. She wasn't zeichet, I sat shiva for 15 minutes, but my mother was nifter, and it was very difficult for me, and Ariyom Azeh, I still, and the Rav was masbid, said my mother didn't want to be Matzviach anymore, which is probably true. And therefore she decided to be Nifta on Erev Pesach and therefore avoid all the crowd. They had a certain, they were Bali Chesed Mufloy. I mean, Baruch Hashem, I had brothers who are also like that. I somehow seem to, I missed the boat in some respects. But so I appreciate the fact that you actually even came and it was kind of you to Yudal Tesvav. And a very fascinating sunya, and Alamai, we should be zeicher that the Baruch Hu should bring about that we should only have our Yehudim and Yisrael and Simcha and Sasson Bikar came to Yelanu, and we should be zeicher to Mamish only the service that makes Yeshua Simcha.